Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey guys, just a quick message before you start listening to this podcast. Did you know that all of our Red Men Plus content also comes in podcast form? Not only do you get access to all the videos, you also get access to all of our podcasts too. They will download directly into your native app so you can get them on the go. So don't miss out on any more Red Men content. Sign up at redmenplus.com and, like I say, get all of these amazing podcasts directly into your device. Right, I hope you enjoy this show.
Hey everyone, it is the build-up show. We are back. Football is back again. The inexorable, interminable, disgusting, horrible wait in the dank, miserable, filled pit of our lives that has been the world since Liverpool lost their opening draw of the season, psychologically speaking.
It's lovely outside.
Yeah, it's glorious, it's beautiful. The sun is shining, and yet somehow there is a dark thundercloud that has followed over my head, cartoon style, raining on me ever since Liverpool drew the opener against Fulham. But they've got a chance to pick themselves back up finally. Monday night kickoff this will be. So yeah, the longest possible wait, pretty much, unless we'd actually had the Friday game last week. The only way we could have waited longer for this, but it is what it is. Asti and Jamie joined me for this one in the studio. It feels like a lifetime because ultimately it always feels like a longer wait when you're waiting after Liverpool have lost. We really all could have just done with Liverpool having another game, whether we were prepared for it or not, like the team wise. I would much rather this be once again the early kickoff. Anything to shorten this time frame. It is what it is. It's about time Liverpool just got back into the pitch, got back on the pitch, got back on the horse.
Absolutely, because none of us were expecting what unfolded in front of our eyes at the weekend. So it's more of a case of let's get it out of our system with a resounding win at home against Palace. You know, it's one of those situations where, yeah, you're right, we'd have played it the following day, wouldn't we, really, to get it out of the way and done with. It's been a strange week. We wanted to start with a statement. We thought we would start with a statement. And the damn squib's really underplaying it, isn't it? So, yeah, like you, mate, I think that thundercloud's been over my house too, mate. There are two of them. So you've got one and I've got one.
Yeah.
And it's been rough, mate. I can't wait for the game to come.
Yeah, meteorologically speaking, it's been a funny old time on Merseyside. Lots of very small rain clouds hovering in the otherwise glorious sunshine. Jamie Crawford, have you been coping this past
week?
I've
been doing all right. I noticed you said since Liverpool lost as well, we didn't lose.
Oh, I said lost the draw.
Because
Liverpool drew a game of football felt like a significant defeat.
Let's try and inject a bit of positivity. Yeah. First game back at home. My first appearance of the season. Hopefully it's going to go slightly better than Liverpool's last Saturday. We need is it a must win already? Is that...
It's a must not drop any more points.
It feels like, I think, because people have been going on, there seems to be two schools of thought of, well, it's first game of the season, then other people going, if we lose the league, by a point, it doesn't matter if it's the first game or all that sort of thing. So, yeah, we need to get that out of our system. Much better performance. I mean, we can't put in a worse first half performance than we did last week. So, yeah, I'm hoping we're going to, as you say, get back on the horse. with a commanding home display.
Well, that's exactly what it's got to be, really, because you're right. Look, the league's never been won or lost on the opening day of the season. It can't be, because you've still got 37 more games of football to be played. And it was a point made, you know, on the podcast this week. City draw 6 and lose 3 last season and win the league on 93 points. But that's the benchmark. But it doesn't mean City by no stretch, nor the Liverpool when they won it, you know, the 2 seasons ago. No, by no stretch did we win every game of football, although it certainly felt like that at a time. Mm. There is that pressure, but the pressure only increases when you don't win games. We had this in 2009-2010, you know, come back off the back of finishing second in the league and we lose a couple in the opening of the season, and you just feel like everything's been undermined. But in the spirit of positivity, Liverpool need to make sure that they aren't complacent. I think it feels a little bit like they battened down the hatches this week. I think they'll have done more coaching, they'll have done more on the training ground, they'll have looked at the problems of Fulham, and look, it's town staff, but it's up to them to go and put it right. And look, if any team's proven themselves capable of putting it right, it's certainly this Liverpool team.
Oh, it hurt everybody. There was no players in the socials saying we'll go again next week, which is really telling. I think they were, like you said, batting down the hatches, been very big on self-belief, to put that back in, because that's our watchword, isn't it? Self-belief, that's unstinting, that's not something we've ever could ever accuse a Liverpool side of not having. I think you're right to reference the first half. I thought we were passive is being kind in terms of what we created. So yeah, that there'll be the intensity will be back. I think they've had been told their futures, kind of thing, because, you know, it's opening day of the season and really can't be doing things like that if you've got aspirations to be winning the title. But it's a crisis everywhere else in the world except at the football club, because they'll do all the right things, have all the right conversations. Yeah. And the irony is, it's off the back of a book released by Pep, about intensity, and it's the thing we didn't have.
Yeah.
So, great opportunity to remind players that's what we're about. So much so, assistant manager wrote a book about it. Mm. Let's get it back and let's show it in abundance on Monday night.
The tricky thing with all this, again, is because we're on the outside, you know, no matter how much we try to be more on the inside and how much people think we're on the inside at times when Liverpool don't win, which seems to be the first accusation leveled. We're not on the inside circle of Liverpool Football Club in any way, shape or form. And when you're on the outside, you're not privy to all the info and you have to live in your own head and your own fears and your own anxieties. And there's a little part of me that when I was writing the agenda for this thought, oh God, Crystal Palace actually. Whereas I was looking at our opening fixtures going, well, fuck Fulham, fuck Palace, fuck Man United. You know what I mean? Cruise to our first, a comfortable first 12 points in August, and then we'll look into September and see how we go. And you can't help but, you know, you start to look into it and go, Palace, they're a good team. We saw what problems they could cause us last season. But this is the point about it. Liverpool need to dig deep. The fans get to dig deep. We actually get to have more of an impact. We get to go to Anfield and in greater numbers this time around. Liverpool will be keen to put it right, because that's the mark of winners.
Yeah, I think I listened to your kind of predictions thing the other week, and I've got Palace. I'm thinking like, they could do something this year, top half, maybe 8th or something like that. So on paper, you look at it and you go, they've got a good balance of technical players and physicality, and, you know, they've got a lot going for them. But first game back at Anfield, especially after that poor performance last week, everyone was going to be raring to go anyway. They'll have doubtless had a rocket off Klopp. It's very rare that he comes out and says our attitude wasn't right, our mentality wasn't right. So maybe in a way it's good having this break, that he can just drum that into them the entire week, saying we are not coming out like we did last week again.
Yeah, and again, for most of them, don't even need saying, they'll all know. These are guys who've been there and done it. They're not going to be happy. They're not going to be going, whatever, shit happens. They're going to be going, no. That's like, they'll be affronted. They'll be affronted by their own performances. You know, Jürgen Klopp, particularly, he doesn't come out publicly and slate the team very often. It's a very rare thing that he comes and questions how Liverpool have approached the football match. And the players will feel exactly the same about it. On the Palace front, you know, I mentioned it before, they look a good outfit under Patrick Vieira. I think he's obviously got something going for him there. He's got a good selection of players. There was a little hope on my part that they would be to Arsenal what Fulham were to us at the weekend, and it doesn't quite work out for that. Yeah. You know, they've got their own fans, Selhurst Park under the lights, first game of the season. Arsenal have got that little fear factor that they had Brentford the season before, and it didn't quite go right for them. But I was actually quite surprised, you know, it on paper or in a very top line sense, it being a 2-0 win to Arsenal, I think flatters Arsenal and does a disservice to how well Palace actually did in that game. Just looking at the stats, you know, but again, very, very basic stuff, but same amount of shots, both had 10 shots, both had 2 on target. Possession was actually dominated by Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace, can I just reiterate this, at 57% of possession against Arsenal Football Club, which is insane. This is the football club that had Roy Hodgson as the manager 2 years ago. And this is Arsenal, who were effectively the modern day pioneers of just having loads of the footy. So that gives you a little bit of a story about what Palace are and what they're even more and further evolving into. They're a good team, and I think Steve, we're going to see a lot of this season. And Fulham hopefully is an early warning shot. I don't think there's going to be many teams that are not going to be aggressive. I don't think there's many teams that aren't going to be comfortable on the ball. The days of Burnley's and Stokes and alternate seasons of West Brom and all that kind of stuff, we seem to be living in a golden era for actual footballing teams at the moment. Be interesting to see how that affects Liverpool's approach, or how that affects teams coming to Anfield's approach.
Yeah, totally. Sometimes you replace skill with fight and endeavour and aggression, and that's what, you know, Patrick Vieira was an aggressive player, although he wasn't short of skill either. I think his team are representative as him as a player. What they have got is really interesting. They've got ball carriers, you know, they've got three notable ball carriers in their team that's probably helps to contribute to the possession stats. They won't come to Anfield to roll over, absolutely not. They're a decent side, as you say. They're all big, they're all physical, they're all strong, they can run forever. It's an interesting game for us because it'll be a test, because they'll ask lots of questions in terms of the physicality. And obviously, with our midfield situation now, we're probably going to put one in there that we don't look at as a particularly physical player. Mm-hmm. And if you're Crystal Palace, that's exactly what you're going to hone in on, isn't it, for the game against Liverpool?
Yeah, just looking at their lineup then from last weekend, it's great, and in goal, Daniel Klein starts right back in the back four for them alongside Anderson, Aguay and Mitchell. It's a two-man midfield screen in front of Decore and Schlupp, and then it's up to 4-2-3-1. So they've got Ayew, Eze and Zaha behind Edouard. And obviously we've seen that firsthand, what that can do in terms of other options. In addition to that, we know they've got Mateta there as well, who can do sort of similar things, continue to add pace and dynamism to their attack. They're a decent outfit, and it's something Liverpool needs to be careful, particularly on the counter, because that'll be the mission, won't it, Jamie? Is I'm not saying that they're not going to park the bus per se. I think they will look to be aggressive all over the pitch. But what we saw from them at Selhurst Park was it was like second and third man runs looking to break the offside trap. You send one lad in to set the offside trap, and then you send another lad in for deep, and that's where the pass is played. And Liverpool do have to be careful, because, you know, if we're not fully up to speed, a lot of how Liverpool approach the game is fluency. It is the fine margins. They do need to be careful.
Yeah, I think looking at that, there is. A nice, but as you say, we don't really have these kind of clogger teams, these, you know, sort of Stoke type teams anymore. There is a nice balance there between, they will be physical, they've got a lot of pace on either wing, they'll be looking to get in behind our fullbacks, but they've also got a lot of decent technicians on the ball. Obviously, Zaha is, you know, he's been a maybe not top-level Premiership player, but the rung below for probably 6-7 years now. Eze, everybody likes Eze.
I think he's a really special player. Yeah. Eze, he was so unlucky with that injury last year. Yeah. But he's another one who's coming back in now. Saw a little glimpse of it against Arsenal. And you're right, I mean, just to move things on from this, just in terms of the injury news for Palace, Jack Butland is currently ruled out with a wrist. He's got a metacarpal fracture. There you go. James McArthur is ruled out as well with a groin/hip/pelvic injury. It's a step it's just a step back. It was the claim, was the word on the 30th of July. It's not going to be as long as we think. We'll have to wait on Monday to see how it is. Michael Elise is the other one, and we saw how good he could be against us last season. He's been ruled out most likely as well. It won't be till the end of the month that he comes back, and James Tompkins, no return date on him at the moment. That's one good thing with the Elise thing, Steve, but they're not lacking without him.
No, they're not. And Eze and Zaha and Elise, the three players I alluded to, in terms of ball carriers, they ask you questions, and that's their style of play. And that's, as I said before, that goes down to the contribution towards the amount of possession they had. We'll probably play a little bit more on the counter. I thought we were really deep first half against Fulham. It was unsurprisingly deep. I don't think that helped. So if there's a conscious effort to get the back line forward, you do that, but you do that at a risk against these guys because the third man running thing is absolutely spot on.
Yeah. Look, ultimately, Jamie, Liverpool need to be better in first halves in general. You know, there's a... It's kind of crept up on us the back end of last season and already now, you know, seeing this with Fulham. Liverpool need to start more aggressively and hopefully, I mean, we're not going to... Without getting treading on part two where we're going to talk about who we could bring in to make that happen, to help Liverpool with that, whether it's an attitude thing or whether it's a choice of pass thing or whatever, we're being caught too flat-footed. We're conceding the first goal far too many times, and that's a big thing that needs to get cut out.
Yeah, there have been a few creeping in, hasn't there? There was some, you know, like the Villarreal game, stuff that gets rectified in the end, but it's like the other year when United kept going behind all the time and you're going, this won't carry on, and it hasn't done. And the other thing, the big, speaking of dark clouds, our neighbours from down the M62 there. How depressing is it when you're like, I think West Ham could do a job here. 5 minutes in, it's 1-0. It was always like, you know, 5 minutes, 1-0 Sterling or whatever, or 1-0 Jesus or whatever, you know. And it just takes the wind out of your sails. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the players are as... They always say, you know, do you watch City's games and stuff like that? We need to start doing that where it's like, no, we're just putting to bed any chance of...
You're creating a fear factor around yourself. And that's the thing at the moment. The if you were a manager coaching, looking forward to a game against Liverpool, you would say, go and have a go. Go and get in the faces in the first half because you're more like, you know, there's now enough evidence there. It's not circumstantial evidence. There's enough to suggest that your best chance of getting something against Liverpool is by being aggressive in the first 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, getting in the faces, unsettling them, stopping them from doing what they do. You might not be able to continue it for the full 90 minutes, but go and burn yourself out. And then if we want to then park the bus in the final half hour, then we test Liverpool with breaking us down.
Totally. I've long said if you're brave against City, you get something. If you're brave against Liverpool, you get something. Part of my frustration as a fan watching teams play, like West Ham play Manchester City, West Ham didn't turn up. I thought they were dreadful.
Yeah.
They didn't back themselves, but yet, back end of last season, they turn it up at half time. They go off, come back on, and try and hold what we have, and you can't do that against Manchester City. One thing Manchester City did was play the entire game on the front foot. You have to find a way to combat that. That's the big difference between Liverpool and City for me at the weekend. I don't think we started on the front foot. I think we allowed Fulham to build some intensity on the day, and I think we didn't do ourselves any favours. City don't give you the opportunity to do that, but you're right, there's a fear factor. We need to get that back because that's what we have to. When we play well, City can't beat us. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure we get back to what we do well.
It is fucking August. It's baking hot. I'm not filming this in July in the middle of a heatwave. And we've got an incredible club legend competition for you this August. It is a signed Rome 77 shirt, and it's signed by none other than the man, the myth, the legend, Phil Thompson. To be involved, if you're a club captain, go over to redmenplus.com and upgrade your subscription to Club Legend. If you're brand new to Redmen TV, then get over to redmenplus.com, sign up as a club legend. You could win this incredible prize and other prizes that we give away for some reason every single month.
Yes, welcome back. Right, it's still me, it's still Jamie, it's still Steve. Trivia question was, when did Patrick Vieira first meet LFC and what was the score?
So he signed for Arsenal in 96 from Milan, and there's a big thing about we didn't play Milan for years and years and years, so I'm going to potentially rule out Milan. And I don't know that he was a starter straight away for Arsenal when he joined. So if I was hazarding a guess, it'd be the second game of the season in 96. And I can't think of the score.
So I was going to go down the Milan route. I think I did replay them in like the Cup Winners' Cup, but yeah, we did. We barely played
them over
the years.
It's like 20-odd years until we played them last season. Mm. So I'm going to say, what would it be, February 97?
I can't offer any more than that.
Okay. Anyone for any more in the live comments? Please put your answers in there. You know, I'll take year. You get yourself a nice pat on the back if you manage to get the year right. Which Steve Funke can do. The year was 1996. He took on Liverpool in the starting 11 of the League Cup fourth round meeting between Liverpool and Arsenal. Wednesday, the 27th of November, 1996.
As soon as you said that, I thought November. Yeah. Wasn't
the
bad, was it?
Score.
Not too bad, yeah.
For those interested, Liverpool 4, Arsenal 2. Arsenal's lineup, John Lukic, God, that's how long ago it was. Lee Dixon, Nigel Winterburn, Martin Keogh, and Steve Bould, Tony Adams, David Platt, Ian Wright, Paul Merson, John Hartson, and Patrick Vieira. Two goals from Ian Wright with Arsenal scores, both from the penalty spot. Liverpool were David James, Mark Wright, Phil Babb, Neil Ruddock, Stiginga Bjørnaby, Jason McAteer, Steve McManaman, John Barnes, Michael Thomas, Robbie Fowler and Patrick Berger. And the goals came from Steve McManaman, two for Fowler, one from the spot, and Patrick Berger rounded it out on 72 minutes. So there you go, Patrick Vieira, 1996. In my head, and immediately, I'd have gone... Probably late 90s, maybe. I think I would have gone around 98.
I tied it in because of Gerrard coming into the squad and Patrick Vieira had established himself by then.
Yeah.
And I know it didn't happen straight away because that was a bit like that for those boys, the French boys.
98 against Celta Vigo when Gerrard, you know, and obviously Sheffield Wednesday's around that time as well.
But I'm happy with my contribution. I'll take that.
Very, very good indeed. Yeah. If you manage to get even a sniff of that, then you're absolutely brilliant. In the live comments, Marley Clark and Joseph Gerges both said 1997. There's a name I cannot pronounce. You got 1996. Very well done indeed. So if you got that right, brilliant. Give yourself a huge pat on the back. You are absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant indeed. Right. Okay. Injuries. Liverpool lost largely the same injury issues that we faced last week. The hope will be that Naby Keita should be returning for this squad. It was illness. They were hoping he was back for Palace, so you'd imagine he'd be back for Fulham. He wasn't. So he should be back for this. The talk is that Curtis Jones will be available by the end of the month. No update at the moment on Konate or Tsimikas. Jota, the hopeful, I think, by the end of the month, started getting into September. I know. And Ramsey, no one knows what's going on with him at all at this point.
He's turned into Ben Davis, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. The Keita and Jones thing is pivotal, I think, ESD. Keita in particular. We've seen last season that Thiago Alcantara is the starting left side of centre mid, and Naby Keita feels like he was, if nothing, at bare minimum, he's our fourth midfielder. He might need to be more than that this season. We could really do with him stepping up and really hammering on the door. But we know that the easiest switch that they could make with no Thiago is for Naby Keita just to come back in if he's available.
Or double pivot with Harvey Elliott in. And I think what's been really key for me in the two games we played, if you could call the Charity Shield competitive game, when Harvey's come on, we've scored goals because he's a link player. He's a link player of the sort we don't really have on that right-hand side, which is the basis of where we attack. That's pretty much what we do. Everyone can predict it. It's whether you can do something about it. Elliot's been really, and his new contract is a sign of that. The fact that he's able to see passes, able to bring players into the game. If you're asking me, what would I do? I'd probably play Elliot. I was very much pro Elliot right from day one for this season. I wanted to see the experiment we tried last season start again this season, and hopefully it will. I think this is a game where we need to be in charge of the game in terms of being on the front foot. I think if you play Naby Keita, great at pressing. I just think Elliot at this moment in time is our biggest creative influence.
The issue we've got in this, and this is why I call it the big decisions, is, okay, so we're bringing Harvey Elliott in, and we'll pick our ultimate 11 in a little bit, but I agree, by the way. I think Harvey Elliott should be coming into this one, Jamie. I don't know whether you agree or disagree on that point. But there are knock-on impacts to that. And it's what do you do with the rest of the midfield? Because as much as you need to solve the Thiago problem, because he's literally not available.
Yeah.
You know, it could be 6 weeks without him. He had a bad game. Fabinho had a bad game.
Yeah.
Jordan Henderson actually played better once he was moved into the six, which is another consideration.
Yeah.
It's what do you do with the other midfield options if you're bringing Harvey Elliott into this game?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Because I think the thing that I found myself when I saw Milner warming up, I went, yeah, this is exactly what we need. And I was thinking, should I be saying that now when Milner's 36? But so do you just bring Milner in?
This is not me having to go with you, but this attitude, I think, is an issue. You know, I know you're not thinking it in a sort of in a truly horrible way or whatever.
No, no.
But like, I contend this lots. I think brilliant footballer with tons of experience, loads of character, understand, can drop into any game. Yeah. I don't think any one of us is saying let's have James Milner start the next 30 games consecutively because that would represent probably a misstep in our transfer policy or the quality of the people around. No problem with having James Milner be a part, and he'll want to be in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. Do you bring in the two substitutes and say, well, you improved our midfield performance when you came on, we'll just go with you from the start, and then it's a toss-up between Henderson or Fabinho in the six? Or do you say to Henderson and Fabinho, right, you're back in, you've got to rectify that. Although we're playing, now I want to start Elliott on the right-hand side of the three, so I'm leaning towards Fabinho. I don't know, like maybe leaving him out. Does he need not a kick up the arse? Well, no, but
this is why it's a tough decision. Is it's not as straightforward as this is. And I think you're illustrating the point perfectly. Yeah. Fabinho was crap. Make no mistake, Fabinho was crap in that game as well. Just the whole midfield was crap and it needs visiting. And what you saw from that is Harvey Elliott, James Milner and Darwin Nunez all came on and had better games than Thiago, Fabinho and Roberto Firmino. So they're going to be the three lads who were on Jurgen Klopp's door all this week going, lad,
yeah,
what do you want?
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Because I'll do it. I don't know whether we can bring all three in, and I don't think people would be necessarily. I can already foresee the fume, but whatever result, whatever lads you put on the pitch, provided they get a result, who gives a shit what lads you put on the pitch?
I think there's a bit of devil's advocate with regards to Fabinho for me. You're a six because only as good as the guy playing left and right hand side of him in the midfield three, and I thought that all three of them were horrendous, if you're being honest about it. You know, so you take. You take them off, make the changes you make. You put Henderson in a six. You bring Elliott in on the right-hand side. He starts doing what a right-hand side player should do. And Henderson's thinking, actually, this isn't so bad. It's pretty easy, this. I'm enjoying it because he's doing what he's supposed to do. Whereas in the first half, nobody did what they were supposed to do. So I can't dig out one person more than any other in that regard. And I think it's interesting that Henderson's player ratings went from dismal to, you know, come up quite a bit in the second half because he was effective in the sixth role. I don't think you can afford to play a passive midfield with Nunez because you need someone close to him. So if the idea is that Nunez plays, I think Harvey Elliott's got to play because you need somebody in that pocket behind the front three. There's lots of different questions and lots of different answers, which obviously we'll try and figure out. But ultimately, I think if we're going to play on the front foot, Nunez plays up top and Elliott gets in that inverted position where he sits, where he links all the play.
Yeah. As you say, the issue with Harvey Elliott stuff is I don't think he can play Henderson left of the three.
No.
I don't think he suits it. There's not enough evidence there, by the way, so just to make that clear. You know, there's a couple of isolated things. There's a very short amount of time at the weekend where he does that, and doesn't make a massive difference to us. And he plays there against Chelsea this time last season.
And we all remember the volley, don't we?
and it's so like, I don't think that's a natural fit for Jordan. No. The six is a natural fit for Jordan, but of course that would come at the expense of Fabinho, and that's not wrong. Both of them have played too much football in the last couple of years. I'm totally for them being in 60-30 rotation, but I don't think Liverpool's game plan for the season was that yet. I contend that Liverpool's plan was to get through August with largely Fabinho, Thiago and Hendo starting games because one game a week, and with the Monday night games you've got really big gaps between games as well. So they want to be careful. I don't think they were going to do anything revolutionary, but I think you know, I know there's been a couple of like appearances cancelled for coaching staff and stuff this week. They've been a bit more on it. I wonder whether, and this is a question Chloe raised on the debate show, so I'll ask you on this as well. Do we think maybe Thiago, it could be a formation shift? Do you go for more of the double pivot that Steve was mentioning earlier, where you go, okay, Jordan's not playing left of a midfield three, he's actually playing in a two-man midfield with Fabinho, and then that means you play Harvey Elliott as more of a free roaming 10 than a right-sided eight?
It's dead hard to predict, Klopp, because I feel like the thing, wherever the clamour is, the latest clamour, he often doesn't do it, and then all the, you know, these... We play Bobby as the peak of a midfield three with two sitters, and we're all this maybe going back to a 4-2-3. But then sometimes, like there was the City game a few years ago, we played like a 4-2-4, and you think, where's that come from? He's thrown them all in. Yeah. So it's hard to predict what he's going to do. I think if questions over whether Naby's obviously been ill.
Is he
absolutely, you know, being held back on a big leash? You know, he's raring to go, or is he going to be a bit sluggish? Because we can't afford him. He's had some bad first halves in his time. We can't afford him not being at the full game pace in the first half. So, I'd probably stick with the standard formation, and it's just we're not quite there yet in terms of the agenda, but I think we've all got Harvey starting on the right-hand side of the three. It's what you do on the left-hand side.
Exactly. But also it's worth mentioning, and I think you kind of what you were saying there, Jürgen does like to say to the lads who were shit previously, right, go and put that right.
Yes.
Right, you're starting again, and not necessarily again what people will be necessarily looking to hear. And we can't put the same midfield out because we know Thiago. It might be a simple thing, Steve. He just does. If Naby's ready... Right, now, but you're just Thiago here. And Jordan, you're going to play on the right-hand side again. Fabinho, you're going to start again. If you play shite like that again, then bear in mind, you know, you've got Harvey Elliott there. I can't keep him at bay much longer. Mm. And you've got to keep him at bay, is basically the argument. Yeah. If you want to play, in particular for someone like Jordan Henderson, he wants to play in the eight for Liverpool. He doesn't want to play in the six. He'll do it, and he's very good at doing it. But he wants to be in the eight. He wants to have a more impactful role in Liverpool's in Liverpool's attack and play, in Liverpool's all-round play. He feels he can influence the tempo of Liverpool games far better from the eight. But I think we're starting to see the limits of what he can do. I think football, we're in danger of evolving past that, where we do need a bit more attacking guile in that position, no natural, more of someone who's dropped from the front row of three back into midfield rather than someone you bring in, you're pushing further up the pitch. But as I say, Harvey Elliott's there. You can't do too much more. And I think if Harvey Elliott follows his progression, it's going to become impossible for him to be ignored. But that's the gauntlet that's going to have to be laid down.
Well, it's a matter of time before Harvey makes that position his own, and he will, because he's that good a footballer. It's inevitable, isn't it, with him? You're right. Be a great opportunity to throw the gauntlet down and say, right, go and right the wrongs of the weekend. And I think that's a very, very Klopp thing. It's a really good point you make. You can still do that with those two. And we've talked about the double pivot. You can still say to them, right, go and show me that you two can tie up my midfield and let the expansive players who create the goals and do the business in the final third, let them go and do their thing without worrying about what's going on behind them. So there are things to talk about. You know, you talk about Carvalho as well. You know, we when we signed him, we've all said he's ready. Probably not for this game, because I think right now Harvey Elliott is in front of him because of the impact he's made in the two games. But you can't suppress a talent like that, you know, indefinitely. And you're quite right. Jordan Henderson's got to face up to the reality at approaching 32. His career will change. Yeah. His role in the team will change. And they've all done it. John Barnes from left winger to centre midfielder because he ruptured his Achilles and that's the end of his running.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens to all footballers as they age.
There's a big game at Old Trafford a week on Monday, and that's what it almost is for me, you know, because that game's so big just on the calendar and how important it is to Liverpool fans, and also laying a bit of a marker down as well, that, you know, I'm saying here, Harvey Elliott absolutely should be starting games of football for Liverpool, and Darwin Nunes, I don't see why you wouldn't, because he's had an impeccable start given what the minutes he's played for us so far. But I also can
can just as easily see that conversation where he turns around to Firmino and Henderson and goes, nah, you're going again here. And Fabinho, by the way. There's no, you're going again. But Old Trafford, you've got a week through to the, you've got a free run of everyone you pick. As long as no one else gets injured, everyone's got a fair shot of being involved in that Man United game. But it's who deserves it. I'm gonna give you in your preferred roles one more run here. But look, if Darwin Nunes and Harvey Elliott come on with half an hour left to go and they have the same level of impact and we're better for them being on the pitch, then you're gonna have to accept that these are the main men now, and you're gonna have to start playing second fiddle to them. So again, it's some interesting man management, some interesting tactical shifts potentially for Liverpool. But if you took a straw poll, we'll do it in the room, would you start Elliott and Nunes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, same. Absolutely. I just would.
I hadn't considered for a second Nunes not starting, but then you think, yeah, maybe he will say, right, you lads need to rectify what you did last week.
Yeah. Right. This is the thing we forget sometimes, just because we are all brutal. Well, not all of us, but you know, I think the most critical of us are the most critical of us, and that's how people approach things and approach life. They were looking and go, right, crap out. Klopp doesn't really manage like that very often, because he understands that he's got to then see that guy the next day, and he's got to, at some point he'll need to get a tune out of someone, and booting someone in the face, it works for some people. It's called in schooling, it's called differentiation. It's how you alter your teaching style dependent upon the learning capabilities of the child in front of you. So some approaches work for some children and other approaches don't. You know, it's the carrot and the stick, isn't it?
Just thinking about Dejan Lovren getting hauled off after 25 minutes or whatever that was.
Does Dejan Lovren start the next game? He absolutely starts the next game, because Jürgen Klopp made his point, and then through the gauntlet down to Dejan Lovren, and he had his best spell as a Liverpool player.
It's great man management, to be fair, isn't it?
After being hooked against Tottenham Hotspur, when every single one of us would have literally felt like we'd lived happier lives if we'd never saw him play for Liverpool again, and yet he goes on and he plays important roles in Liverpool after that
and announced himself as the best defender in the world off the back of that as well. Don't forget that.
He did a bit of that in pre-season for Croatia, didn't he? But get your thoughts on any of these. These are the burning topics. These are the conversations that are going to be happening at the AXA this week as Liverpool prepare for all of this. Do you change formation? Fabinho, Hendo in the six, Elliot, Milner, Nunes. I mean, I had a quick look just to refresh my memory on this. Liverpool started midfield at Old Trafford last year. Anyone?
Naby. Thiago injured? I can't even.
Thiago was injured.
Yeah.
Curtis Jones.
Nope. Curtis on the bench.
Henderson.
Who
was the Fabinho?
Milner.
It was Milner.
Naby. Hendo is our midfield three at Old Trafford. And I know we're fixated often by, like, what's our best X, Y, or Z? You know, that's the Klopp will play. We'll feel confident to feel any combination of things. And James Milner, again, we've almost glossed over the Milner conversation. James Milner won't be happy with that. And there's some notes, there's always like what if a 36-year-old... If a 36-year-old is able to do that, then he's able to do that. I don't give a shit how old he is.
Did he
same
as
17-year-old, sorry. But if you're a 17-year-old and you can go on the pitch and impact the game, fine, player. If you're 36, 37 and you can impact the game, player. That tells me we've got a brilliant squad, not at the sum... fundamental hole in what we're doing. If you can have five injuries to first team players, and you're bringing someone of the quality of James Milner into it, and he can make a positive impact in games. When he stops doing that, it's an issue. But there's no signs of him doing that.
But you're picking players against who you're playing against, and to be fair, when we went to United, their midfield was way for thin, pathetic, wasn't it? So you could afford to go with those bodies, knowing that would be sufficient, and as it proved, more than sufficient, wasn't it?
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Right, let's talk about the real business, and the real business is ultimately us deciding what our 11's going to be. Steve Plunkett, what is your starting 11 for Liverpool?
Keeper picks himself.
Keeper does.
Right back and left back, usual suspects. Mm-hmm. Because of the bodies that are available, Matip's another one that needs the go again conversation, and because he was a bit off the pace for him. Mm-hmm. The one really good ball into the midfield for one of the goals aside, I don't think he had his best game. And there's a lot of people saying that's probably as ineffective as we've seen Virgil.
Yep.
Another, there's a few players who've got something to prove, so I think the back four pretty much picks itself. I want to see a double pivot with Elliot involved in that midfield three. So as you said before, it's not really playing Henderson on the left side of the three. Mm-hmm. It's offering that screen with I think if you play Nunes, you've got to play a more advanced midfielder. Yes. And if given it away, then I'm going to go Diaz, Nunes and Salah up top.
Okay. Any disagreement, Jamie?
I've got the same back four and keeper as last week. Starting Nunes, Salah and Diaz. Me, personally, I would be tempted to go Henderson 6, mm-hmm. Harvey and Milner or Naby, but I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to do Fabinho. I think he'll do Fabinho, Henderson, and maybe Naby.
I think, and I there's one or two things that's going to happen here. It's going to be exactly the same 11, barring someone coming in for Thiago, and that'll be who's fittest and most. If Naby's fit and ready to go, Naby will just come in and we'll just carry on. I'll go right. Put it right, lads. I have got a sneaky feeling, and these are always wrong, by the way. It is what I would, if it was up to me, I would move Jordan Henderson into the six, because I just think there's games where you don't need Fabinho, and this might be one of them. You're at home, a bit more fluidity with him in that six. You then put, you know what, I'd put Milner and Elliot in, because I thought they both were excellent when they came off, and it's a good reward. So, Gwed, you play brilliantly. Presumably, they've trained brilliantly. If they have this week, then they'll be in contention. And then go with Diaz, Nunez, and Salah up top. And the only other maybe change to that is, how's Joe Gomez been in training?
Yeah.
And do you say to Joe, this is it, mate? You know, like, how does Joe Matip get in? How does Joe Gomez get in the team if he can't get in the team on the back of Matip not having a good game? Is he going to have to wait till everyone's injured and then lock that place in? I don't think he will make that one more change. I don't think Klopp likes to make sweeping changes game to game because of the rhythm and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't be against Gomez getting a little look in and getting a run and seeing how he gets on. Particularly because at some point Canate is going to come back, and I just think he will just be our main centre half. But there's a lot to pick through for the manager there. I mean, Carvalho, I'm sure would be knocking around saying, "Can I get a go in midfield?" I wouldn't be against a Fabinho, Carvalho, Elliot midfield. Maybe a bit soon for that, in terms of how well they are up to speed in what we do, of course. But again, and also, let's be honest, I'm pissed off with how Liverpool performed. I was saddened by the whole thing, which is bad. It was more sad than, you know, it wasn't, you know, I was more disappointed in Liverpool and saddened by it rather than angry. But ultimately, if Klopp decides to give Bobby another go, fine. You know, I'm absolutely fine with that. Nunes is doing a good job off the bench. He's actually shown that he's a brilliant half an hour, 35 minute player. I don't think that's a bad weapon to have, because you know that's working. Bobby Firmino's a good player, it could do with him. I just think if you're playing Bobby in the false nine, I think we definitely need to have someone in the midfield who breaks the lines a bit more, and someone who gets up and makes it a four more. And look, Jordan can do that under instruction, but I think Elliot does it much more.
His starting position is better suited to that. And you look at the goal in pre-season when he cut the ball back to Henderson, ironically. His willingness to go beyond Salah was critical in pre-season, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. We had a good comment come in while we were doing this, by the way, from the Decorators Forum UK. He's been a member for 12 months here on YouTube. Thank you so much. Palace are in for a tonking, it says. Simple as that. I hope so. Liverpool need a big reaction here.
Yeah.
They really need to go out there and just, you know, cast off any doubts. Because Man City, everyone was looking at Man City, West Ham, and going, West Ham could get something here.
Yeah.
And then what instead? And all you fear is, like, maybe Haaland won't kind of link up. Things like that will have that'll stutter us throughout the season at some point. But if you go and set a strong foot down, and that's what they did, and Liverpool failed in their opportunity to do that, they can really do with sending a message. It doesn't need to be a 5 or 6-0 for me. It needs to be a 3-0 where it's like so done. It's so in Liverpool's hands. No one wants them to be fucking around with this.
It'd be nice with the 5 subs on 60. We could say right, the game's won. Carvalho can have a little bit, have a little moment, or Jones if he's fit. I don't know if Jones is going to be fit, you know. Hopefully, yeah. Fast start, early goal, nice early goal. 5 minutes in, Mo Salah, sorted.
Half time, 2-0, and get your foot.
I've grown a bit tired looking at my watch, thinking, right, there's 10 minutes to go till half time. He needs to get them in, another word.
Yeah.
That's becoming a reoccurring theme that I don't like, to be fair.
Yeah. Right, before we pick our score prediction for this, let's have a little look at the other fixtures going on in the Premier League this weekend. Saturday, early kickoff sees Everton, Frank Lampard, Lampard versus Gerrard. Clash for the ages.
It's the first time they've ever been mentioned together, isn't it? I think.
Yeah. No one's ever talked about them two as a clash in any way, shape, or form before.
It's huge. Big. For both.
Disappointing start of the season for Gerrard last week.
Yeah,
he's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and he will continue to have Everton a crap.
This Mings thing's bubbling under, isn't it? With Paul McGrath came out saying he should be in the team, and like the Villa fans are like, right, well, what he says goes. So he's
it's the same Villa fans who say he shouldn't. But just because Paul McGrath opened his mouth, it changed his mind, haven't
but
they?
I think
we're all to a man reconciled with the fact that Tyrone Mings is just crap.
Well, yeah.
Never mind your club captain.
Yeah. But that's it. But that's a big thing, you know, and again, there's lots of narratives in football, and the Gerrard Lampard thing is important. Evertonians won't want to live in a world where Gerrard's getting things over on them again. You saw him at Goodison Park last season, so a little smile at them and all that kind of stuff. But like Gerrard needs, Aston Villa need to be beating teams like Everton, and Everton really need to be beating teams like Aston Villa, so that's got a lot going on around it. Southampton host Leeds, which is going to be a massive indicator, I think, of whether one of those teams is going to be comfortably safe from relegation, or whether one of them is going to be absolutely fucked this season.
You know what? If that goes the way of Leeds, then the old sack race cameras are right on Ralph Hasenhüttl, because he would have got relegated if there'd been another month on last season.
Yeah, I agree. Arsenal hosting Leicester. Now, it's funny because, again, how seasons have started and how the vibes are around the football clubs and all that kind of stuff. There's an alternate universe where, like, you know, Brendan Rodgers is Arsenal manager here, and he's got all the wealth at his disposal. Arsenal should win this, given that, you know, they handle Crystal Palace, the vibes are good. But Leicester are that kind of team that have a way of just disrupting certain football teams. I think this will be an old school Leicester, just go and be horrible, go and be gnarly, go and defend, go and try and hit Arsenal on the counter-attack, frustrate the life out of them, stop Arsenal from counter-attacking on you, and they might, I have a feeling Leicester might get something from that.
Just the fact they've got three lads looking at the exit door, you do wonder how that psychologically affects the squad.
Leicester are shit this season.
I wouldn't want to be putting money on that for my life, I have to say. It could go any of the three results possible there.
Yeah, Brighton, Newcastle, another interesting way of gauging where both of those teams are at. You know, Brighton started brilliantly at Old Trafford last week. Newcastle, again, starting to look more and more like they could be a real deal. Klopp's been very keen to talk about them in the European places, which I think is quite significant, but that will be another one that in any other season, Brighton, Newcastle, like, who's asked? But there's just, I love it. I just love it. There's a nice little story.
I can see Newcastle away being the West Ham away of last season, like the hardest outside the top top six to go.
Yeah, definitely. Man City host Bournemouth 3 o'clock on the Saturday. I'm sure that'll be an absolute walkover for them. Wolves host Fulham. Couldn't care less about that one. It'd be nice if Fulham were good for the next few weeks. Just so we can go, yeah, look how good these are. It wasn't just us being crap. In fact, I'm just going to quickly get Fulham's. I just want to get Fulham's fixes up because it'd be really nice if they actually had someone good in the forthcoming future. Okay, so they've got Wolves at the weekend. They play Brentford next week. They've got Crawley Town in the League Cup. Who gives a shit about that? They play Arsenal. They play Brighton. Ugh, they don't play Spurs till the 3rd of September. They play the Chelsea on the 10th. I really want them to have Man City. They'll play Man City till November when it's all done. When they're all knackered and they've all the lustre's worn off for them.
Mitrovic has started having a tantrum.
Typical. Absolutely typical. Not what we wanted. Right, so a couple more fixes quickly to get through then. Brentford host United. That could be hilarious. Although I'm not against Man United getting a result there, if only because I don't see that they go in. I don't see that they lose the first three games of the season, surely. And it's very important that they do lose their third game of the season, being at us. So I'm not against them getting something to tide them over a little bit.
You can't see them completely turning it round in a week. And
I'd rather see the pressure on them coming. And then the comedy value when it is three losses.
Okay. I could see them winning the game, but I can't see them winning handily.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't want them to win handily, but
of course. Forest, West Ham, Chelsea, Tottenham is the half four on Sunday. Really interesting game again. But the two not that this game will decide that, but they're the two teams for me fighting out for third place in the league this season. So you can see whether Tottenham have progressed and whether the chaos at Chelsea's kind of subsided any. And then, of course, we're the 8 o'clock kickoff on Monday against Crystal Palace. Right, let me know your score predictions in the comments. Let me know your 11s. Lads, what do you think the score is going to be? Liverpool, Crystal Palace?
4-0.
Go ahead.
2-0 to Liverpool.
But I'll have a 4-0 as well. Why not? Yeah, I'll go with that.
Do you want to change yours?
Jürgen Klopp's press conference 9:30 a.m. Friday morning. Obviously, we'll get more updates on Liverpool's injury situation and a bit of greater insights into what the manager's thinking for this game from that one. Chloe will be doing press conference reaction over on Redmond Plus, and you'll be able to get that press conference in your podcast players and on YouTube as well for free. So if you want to get that after the fact, you can do on Redmond throughout this season as well. Loads of extra content going on Plus this week. There was around the league. I've just done Journo Insight with Neil Jones, having a little bit deeper dive into the Harvey Elliott contract situation, who Liverpool's new centre-half signing is, what the strategy is around Liverpool's under-23s and under-18s. Really, really interesting stuff what they're doing. Some real outside-the-box thinking going on. Some great insight from Neil Jones from goal.com on that. The debate show was brilliant as well. Just brilliant content. More studio shows in video and in podcast form. You can get on the go on your podcast player. So you make sure you get involved with that. So we're going to have so much good stuff coming this season. It's a very, very exciting time to be a Redmen fan as well as a Liverpool fan. Yes, and Liverpool can just do the business though, by the way, because as much as everything's going brilliantly, I love this job. I love the production. I love everything we do improves every week, every month. It's great. And then every season I'm reminded that my happiness is entirely dictated around 11 fellas kicking a footy. So if those 11 fellas could be less crap than they were last weekend, that would help us all immeasurably, right? Right.
Yeah.
Agreed. Sounds. That is the build-up show. Check back for the watch-along on Monday night as well. And we'll see it all there. Ta-da.
Thank you so much for that. I hope you enjoyed it. If you want more Red Men in your ears, then consider signing up to redmenplus.com. You get everything that's on the website in video and, if you want it, in podcast form. From £5 a month, redmenplus.com. You get 2 free items of merchandise every single season. If you sign up as a club legend, you get 20% discount codes every single month. Exclusive discounts from our partners, as well as your name in the credits and each and every Red Men Plus show.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.